Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks radio show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Scott Lindgren. Thanks for coming today, Scott.
Yes, thanks for the invite, Bryce.
It's been a while since we've had you on.
Yes, and it's always fun to get on the radio and pass on some information to the public.
Good weekend to be on. We've got pheasant opener. Last weekend was resident pheasant opener, and this is by far our busiest weekend of the year. Huge influx of non-residents coming into the state, big influx of residents going to be out in the field. So there are going to be a lot of people in and around Watertown and surrounding areas. So always fun to go out, talk to folks, see where everybody's from and how long they've been coming here. And just the overall tradition of pheasant season is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see all the different people come in from all the different states, and the locals get out and enjoy the resources.
Definitely. As we've talked about a few times, pheasant numbers down a little bit in this area. Sometimes you talk to landowners and some other hunters out there, and they seem this year to be seeing more pheasants than maybe what our numbers said. I don't really know where I stand on that. Some days I feel like I'm seeing more pheasants. Other days I feel like I'm not seeing near as many. I know, Scott, you're from over in the Clark area. How are things looking around your place as far as pheasant numbers?
You know, it was looking really good in June and July, and I thought we were going to be up, but we had that nasty hailstorm that came through south of Clark, and the number of birds that I've seen in that narrow little band have really, really decreased. So I think the thing is it just varies from area to area. I have been surprised, you know, our counts indicated that we were down, but I've heard a number of landowners and a number of hunters say that they think we're up. And so I think there's some areas that are probably up, but overall we're probably down a little bit. But it's up from 2014 and 2013. So I think it's going to be pretty good hunting, and a lot of the crops are out. And I think that's going to make hunting even better.
Yeah. One other thing that I think is really going to help this year is last year, if I remember right, it was almost 80 degrees on opening weekend of pheasant season. Even the resident pheasant season was very, very hot and dry, made it really tough for dogs to even be able to hunt all day, let alone catch any scent. Well, we've actually had a little bit of moisture in the mornings. We've had fog. We should have heavy dew, and that should really help these dogs get around, and cooler temperatures, and it looks like a little bit of a breeze. That alone should really help the harvest on opening day of pheasant season this weekend when we're comparing it to last year. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with the moisture. That's going to help. We'll see what the wind does. I know the wind was blowing pretty good for the resident opener, and I think that plays a role, too, on comfort for our hunters and dogs following scent, too.
Yeah, definitely. So always interesting to see where everybody's coming from and see what, after the first weekend, what that harvest looks like.
You know, Bryce, along the sloughs with the water drying down over the summertime, there's pretty significant cattail growth and reeds along the wetlands. And I think, you know, a lot of them have a little mud line between the water and that cover. And so I think hunters that get out there, I think they're going to find some birds along those sloughs.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. There's a couple WPAs and GPAs that really come to mind that used to be, you know, a large percentage of water on those areas, and that water's since dried up, and now either the cattails or the curly dock or some slough grasses came back in there, and that's actually going to provide really good habitat for the first couple weeks. And even as we go into winter, some good winter cover. A couple of those areas, Christofferson GPA right over here by the Grover Curves, west of Watertown, and then up between Grass Lake and Dry Lake. When Grass Lake and Dry were kind of connected through a couple sloughs there, that was a lot of water on those WPAs. Well, now those have all dried up, and it's nothing but cattails, and that really adds a lot of extra acres of habitat for hunters when they're out here looking for places to hunt. Let's move on to, I guess we can go to waterfowl. Waterfowl hunting this weekend was a little bit better than last weekend. I think a lot of that has to do with the weather. We had good wind over the weekend, overall good cooler weather, and I think we got a good push of ducks a Wednesday or Thursday last week that made scouting a little bit easier for the field hunters, and harvest was much better this weekend than it was a couple weeks ago. We've really transitioned mostly to bigger puddle ducks now. When we're seeing bag limits, it's mostly going to be mallards, gadwall, a few widgeon, that kind of thing, as compared to 10 days ago when mostly what we were seeing was teal. But a few more ducks in the area, and it seems like goose hunting has still been pretty good as well for the guys that are out targeting those.
You know, the Marshall County officer was in on Friday, and I talked to him, and he said he saw a big push of birds this week up there, so I think we're going to get a few more birds here, and people are reporting swans in the area, and there's some white fronts. So I think we're starting to get some birds coming into the area, and it's just going to make waterfowl hunting better here.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to seeing how that improves. I think the hunters are pretty excited. Overall, everybody's been really pleased with our waterfowl numbers throughout the year. The second weekend was maybe a little bit tough, but other than that, things have really been going pretty darn good as far as waterfowl hunting goes. Also, a couple weeks ago, same day as waterfowl opener, we kicked off with archery deer hunting. So there's been some archery deer hunters on the landscape, also been a few youth hunters on the landscape. And one thing that me and Scott wanted to talk about today that I haven't brought up is one thing that's kind of been lingering with our deer population across South Dakota has been EHD, which is epizootic hemorrhagic disease. But we'll call it EHD on the show for the rest of the time. But there has been some spots throughout the state that have really been hit pretty hard by that.
We've been pretty fortunate in the Northeast. We haven't had any reports of deer in the eastern 10 counties, but the western counties, Brown and Edmonds and McPherson and Falk, I think we have one in Spink County too. But, you know, we're probably only running about 50 reports, but in the central and the south central part of the state, some of those counties have over 100 reported dead deer. So it hit that area a lot harder than it hit our area. But it's really important. You know, we can't do anything with those dead deer, but it's important that hunters and landowners give us a call, report what they found or saw, and then we'll check them out, and it's nice for us to document those, and then we know the severity of that loss. And this isn't unusual. I would say the majority of the years we have some EHD die off in the state, but this looks like it's probably the second highest level that we've had in the last six or seven years. So pretty significant in that central part of the state. Still monitoring, trying to figure out how bad it is, and the more reports we get, it's important that we document that and know those so we can make any decisions that need to be made.
Is EHD the same thing as blue tongue? Is that what they refer to it as sometimes?
You know, it's a little different virus. I think it's just a little different strain. But anything that we find that's fresh enough, we take down to SDSU, to the lab, to verify that it's EHD. And we haven't had any reports on mule deer, antelope, or elk there. And sometimes that can show up in those species too. But it's been all white-tailed deer so far this year.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, we've got like Scott said, we're looking for landowners and hunters. If they come across any dead deer, make sure they give us a jingle. One other thing with that is with this amount of dead deer on the landscape, with those dead deer, there's going to be antlers attached to those. And if you're out pheasant hunting, you come across antlers that are still attached to the skull plate, you don't want to pick those up. You can't have those. It is considered illegal possession. So make sure if you come across those, if it's on private land, the landowner can have them. If they're on public land, then they have to stay on public land. But if you do come across them, you can contact a conservation officer, and we can come out and get those off the public land for you.
Yeah, the landowners, they'd have to contact you before they move that animal so we can verify, you know, how it died, and then they might have the option to retain those.
Right. Yep. Talk to the peer conservation officer on Thursday. We had a meeting together in Mitchell, and he said that he'd really been getting a bunch of reports already about dead deer in the area, and he thought that the overall number of deer that were probably going to test positive for EHD around there was going to be pretty high, unfortunately. But yeah, a lot of pheasant hunters out this weekend, so if you come across any deer, make sure you give us a jingle, and like Scott said, if they're fresh enough, we can get those tested.
What are you hearing, Bryce, from the youth deer hunters or the archery deer hunters? Are you hearing much reports of filling their tags yet?
Yeah, I think the youth hunters have been doing really well. They haven't had any problem going out, filling those antlerless tags and having really pretty good hunts. And a lot of them have been hunting public land, which is always great. The archery hunters, I think they're struggling a little bit more this year than they have the last couple years. And I guess by struggling, I don't know if I mean that they're shooting less deer, but I think that they're seeing less big mature shooter bucks on their cameras than they've seen the last few years. The consistent report I get is they have more deer on their cameras, less mature adult bucks. That seems to be the consistent trend with what I'm hearing. But nonetheless, I do, for about every other person that says that, somebody does bring me a picture from a trail camera that has a decent shooter buck on there. So I think deer population is really looking up.
You know, we've been have reduced numbers of tags. I think this is 3 years, and a lot of the counties, probably even longer for Cottington County, but we should be having some herd growth out there. And whenever you have herd growth, you usually have a better age structure too. So I guess I'm anticipating a pretty good deer hunting year. I wonder how that wind has seemed like it's been blowing the last 2 weeks. And in my experience, when you have wind over 15 mile an hour, deer movement is a lot lower. And also, we're at a full moon right now, and they don't have to move, you know, during the day. They can feed and move at night, a lot more comfortable with a full moon. So as that moon starts to disappear, when we get closer to November, I think people are going to be really excited about what they're seeing out there.
I couldn't agree more. And I've had Kyle Lenzner from Clark County on the show a couple times, and he really seems to be thinking that he's seeing a lot more twins with does this year. So hopefully recruitment was good. And I know I've talked about a few times that we're doing the fall classification surveys right now. I've seen quite a few does with twins, quite a few does with one, and even a few does here and there where we can't seem to find the fawns with them. But I would definitely say that our deer population, especially right here in Cottington, is growing pretty good from last year.
It would be nice if it did, and we could increase licenses and give more opportunity to hunters. That's what we're trying to accomplish. It'd be nice if we were successful and could offer more opportunity.
Yeah, it's too bad when locals have to wait upwards of 5 years to get an East River deer tag in Cottington County. So it'd be nice if we could up those chances a little bit. Anything else on deer before we move on?
Yeah, I've heard some really good reports from the elk hunting out in the Black Hills. We have a fabulous population, and those fortunate enough to get a license, I think they have a great hunt of a lifetime in their home state. So that's really nice, and great reports there.
Yeah, that has been looking good. Another thing that's been looking pretty good too, I think the antelope harvest is going good. We had kind of some tough antelope numbers when I first got hired about 5 years ago in Meade County and Perkins County and anything north of Sturgis, really. But looked like harvest was better for the last couple years and looks pretty good again this year. So hopefully that population's rebounding pretty well also. Well, we will finish things up here with a quick fishing report. Nothing really new going on in the area. The busy hotspot has still been Lake Ponset. All day Sunday last week, we had officers down there 60 plus boats at the boat ramp, a lot of things going on, a lot of fishermen coming off. Every boat had fish. Most people, I think, were down there looking for the perch, but most boats had a hard time finding them. Without established weed lines down there, it's still been really tough to consistently find those perch. A few boats were able to find them. The perch we did see were in the 10 to 12, sometimes upwards of 13 inch range, so a really nice, healthy looking perch. But for the most part, people were coming off with walleye. Not much in the realm of limits, but I think the ratio of keepers to ones you got to throw back continues to get better. And so that walleye population is hopefully doing really well. And as we move into winter here, Lake Ponset is looking like it's going to be an awfully busy spot again this year. A couple lakes over in Clark County have slowed down. Indian Springs and Dry have both still had quite a few fishermen on it, but the fishing report has been slower than what we saw about 10 days ago, so those have slowed down a little bit. From a shore fishing perspective here around Coddington County, Long Lake, Stink Lake, and Goose have all been offering decent opportunity. Once again, not seeing much for limits, but the fish we are seeing are really quality and a few over 20, so that has been good this fall already. But overall, fishing still continues to be really good. Sometimes we talk about how our pheasant populations are down a little bit, but our walleye fishing has really been making up for it the last few years here. Well, we are at our time limit. Anything else before we take off, Scott?
You know, I just would remind hunters, if it gets in the 70s, this today and tomorrow, make sure they have some water for their dogs and water for their hunters, or fluids for their hunters too, because that can be pretty challenging, especially for dogs if they're hunting and it gets close to 70 degrees.
Absolutely, I would agree. I hope everybody has a good weekend. I hope the pheasant hunting is good. If you're not pheasant hunting and you're out catching fish, I hope that is equally as prosperous. And we will be back next week to report how harvest was on opening weekend of pheasant season.